text 087 69 44 500.
90.3
Near FM.
On the line now, I have Rob Buchanan, a poet. Hello, Rob. How are you? Good afternoon.
How are you doing? All up the story. It's good to be on Near FM.
Thank you very much. Now, you're launching the debut poetry collection, The Cost of Living. Before we talk about that, can you give us a bit of background to yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm from Whitestown and Blanchardstown, born and bred, and I actually went to Colossus Dulick. I have some fond memories out there for college, beside yourself. And I've been writing most of my life. I'm a freelance journalist and, poet now, apparently, if I can sell them a book.
When did you realise that you had a penchant for poetry?
Well, I actually won the winner of the Poetry Ireland Introduction Series last year. So that kind of gave me a bit of encouragement that maybe the scribbling was a bit better than I thought it had been. And I've been published in a few journals like The Stinging Fly and Head Stuff and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I decided I may as well bite the bullet and try and get a collection out there.
Yeah, it's terrific. I was just reading some of it. It's absolutely beautiful. I was just wondering as well, I mean, when I asked you about getting the yen for it, in school, did you read a lot of it? And then when you weren't in school, were you into poetry?
Yeah, I've always loved poetry and writing. And I had a very, very good English teacher who's actually coming to my launch. Mr. Casey is his name. He's a brilliant guy. And my father was into writing himself as well. So I've always had a love of it. I love Paddy Kavanagh and Seamus Heaney and the likes of that. And I thought, you know, if you're going to be obnoxious and drink, you may as well write about it as well.
I was just wondering, like, among your peers, when you talk about it, would you be getting slagged off? The reason I'm asking that is because I remember meeting a guy at a culture night about 2 years ago from out here in Coolock, and he was doing very, very well at the poetry as well, travelling to America. But he was saying, like, only for a teacher, sort of, he felt a bit isolated, but a teacher latched onto him, saw what he was doing when he was very young and really encouraged him. And you sound as if you got the same kind of encouragement, but sort of a little bit isolated. Did you find any of that?
No, I get the piddle ripped out of me day and night by my mates from Whitestone, and it's well deserved as well. But there's, you know, but they're inspiring too. I actually, there's two lads that I look after that have learning difficulties. There's one of them is called Gary, and the other one is called Martin. Mm-hmm. They're non-national, to say, but you know, I would have helped them with their English and things like that. So mm-hmm. that kind of encourage me. So they probably be the only two that don't really bully me about it, because you know, they need a bit of English, you know. But I think poetry is, if I say so myself, it's becoming a bit more cool than it was back in the day. I know by saying something cool, it's deeply uncool, but I think people are starting to read more and take more pride in Irish culture, and, mm-hmm. and that's what I mean. A lot of my poems will be about Dublin and about Dublin history and things like that. So there's a thriving open mic poetry scene in Dublin as well, you know?
Oh, I didn't know
free
that.
Free drink and... Oh, yeah, that's very good. I think most of them just go for the free drink. But
yeah, No, I'm just saying that you have the open mic for the music, so why not for the poetry? Now, I was just thinking that
they go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, they think it's an elitist thing for poetry. And the amazing thing about most people, especially young people, and I won't go into the modern songs, but they don't seem to realise that the lyrics in a lot of music is poetry in itself as well before the music is put to it.
Exactly, yeah, and they don't realise. I mean, even rap, I would count rap as, you know, a form of modern poetry. And there's actually a good rap scene as well in Dublin, in North Dublin. Mm-hmm. There's a brilliant group called the Class A's that are, I call them poets. They'd call themselves rappers because there's a beat behind it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us something about your own poems. Now, you've titled it "The Cost of Living." And that's the first collection of it. So, inspiration-wise, and I mean, it's quite diverse, the selection of poems that you're putting out as a debut. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it's a big. I decided I could be dead tomorrow, so I said I wanted the first collection to be as concise and big as I could. So there are 69 poems across three different sections in the Cost of Living, and it's say the first part is more about landmarks and places in Dublin and cities and historical aspects of it, and then the second part is more relationships and kind of probably more post-watershed kind of subjects. And then the last section is about life and death, mm-hmm. which sounds a bit all-consuming, but I think it's very accessible. You know, there's certainly something in it for everybody, as they say. Well, I would say that if I'm selling the book. But
yes, yes. No. As I said, I was reading them. It's wonderful. Is there... When you're doing your readings across the country, is there an age that you have that come to see it? Like, what would be the framework of the ages?
I've been lucky enough to do a few gigs in Dublin Castle with there's a fantastic poet called Kenneth Nolan, and he runs a thing called the Merrick Sessions. And for those, they will be open to the public. And he runs them in Tallaght at the minute, actually, on Saturdays. But normally when I'm doing open mics, it will be in pubs in town at night, so that kind of limits, you know, the age, and mm-hmm. probably just as well if it would come. So there's an awful lot of people in their 20s and 30s that are into coming to poetry. There probably wouldn't be anybody much older than that, maybe, but it's diverse, I suppose. No.
Yeah, I think there's, as I was saying earlier, I think there's I always liked it myself, but, and I'm never afraid to say it, but I think there is a bit of a stigma, and people are thinking themselves uncool. So it's like someone watching a television program. Oh, no, I'd never watch that. And they're glued to it, and it applies to this as well because of perception.
It's a guilty secret, I think.
The
white town lads would often tell me, you know, they flag poetry and all that, but they're all dying to find out whether they're included anywhere in the, you know, in the book, or if they can see themselves in it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're thinking of going into the writing a novel now. Have you got an outline of what it's going to be about, or is that going to be keeping that close to your chest?
I get an awful lot of a stick for this. The Nevy Irishman is always saying, "Oh yeah, I have a novel in the book. You know, I have a novel in the works, but it'll be set in Dublin, and I'm trying my best to get it finished by the end of this year. I'm working on a play as well, which is kind of taking a bit more precedent because I might be able to get that into the Gay Theatre Festival next year, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're always scribbling. I'd say you couldn't throw a stone without hitting a Dublin man who thinks he's a writer, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between those that think they can do it and then some people like yourselves who actually can do it. So there you go, it's a big difference. The collection.
If I survive this launch now, I'll be happy.
Okay. The launch now, as I say, it's a wide selection of diverse poems, as I say, the cost of living. But a charts, it's about love and loss, but it's also about religion and all that sort of carry on, and Irish history as well. And as I said, religion. Does politics enter? I didn't get a chance to read them all, but does politics enter it at all?
Yeah, there will be. And speaking of the day that's in it as well, the post Brexit shocking. Well, probably not that shocking result. There's an awful lot of reflections on the revisionism around the 1916. Rising and about the way it's kind of being appropriated by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. I don't want to be saying anything on the radio early. No, don't worry. I watch my language. But I mean, there will be a lot about that, and also a lot about the potential kind of chilling and conservative effects of politics in Dublin now. I mean, we're post marriage equality now in Ireland, and mm-hmm. I think we're all kind of congratulating ourselves on this new, liberal Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few poems kind of meditating on how dangerous things could be if we had a theocracy again with the Catholic Church and things like that.
Very interesting. As I said, I read through them all, so I'll get through the rest of them in the course of the weekend.
Hopefully you'll come to the launch. You're more than
tell our listeners where it is and when it is.
Oh, thanks very much. It's the Thursday, the 30th of June, so that's next Thursday. It's in the Irish Writers' Centre across from the Garden of Remembrance on Parnell Square, and it's at 7 p.m. And the cost of living, the book itself, is €10, but there will be free wine and, probably free wine. You have to listen to me talking for an hour, so...
No, it sounds good. Just for to give a pinpoint it a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, it's at the top end. If you're coming from O'Connell Street, it's at the top end of the Memorial Gardens, just up there.
It is indeed. Yeah, yeah. There's a fantastic view of the local wildlife and in various stages of intoxication outside, staggering around, which is shocking. But can I say as well? No, sorry, before I forget that my collection and my writing in general. You were saying about, you know, whether I get slagged for. My best mate Alan Lambert is completely supports everything I do and helps me with editing the book and everything else. And he'll be hosting the launch for me, as he does everything completely unpaid.
Okay. Your poetry, where will it be available then after the launch?
This is the thing. So when the first edition of it, the first printing imprint has 150 copies. So I'll probably have most of them sold by the launch and by the open mic nights. And then I'm looking at a second edition, which will be coming out, and that'll be available in local bookshops. I don't think I'll be going through the likes of Easton's for it, because normally people on the poetry scene in Ireland tend to kind of favour smaller bookshops and things like that.
Well, as I said, I didn't get a chance to read them all, but reading quite a lot of them, and it's something that there's quite a few of them there could be easily on the curriculum of exams and taught in schools in years to come, because instead of going back to the old all the time, but something new and fresh from contemporary poets today. That's what I'd like to see as well.
That's a fantastic compliment. No, thanks very much. I'd love nothing better than to be breaking the hearts of teenagers that are stressing out in their leaving cert at the moment. I hope they all do well. But that would be brilliant. I'd love to see it. It would be a great way of getting me on back on the leaving cert.
Okay. Listen, Rob, it's a terrific collection, as I say. I look forward to reading it all the weekend. I'll try and get in there next Thursday. What time is it at, by the way?
It's 7 p.m.
7 o'clock, okay. And it's in the Irish Writers' Centre there in Parnell Square. Listen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and continued success, and I hope the novel is a big hit as well. And you're busy with your journalism and playwright.
Well, I have a day job as well, you know, because you can't say I'd be starving if I was living off that, but I have a day job as well, you know.
Okay, and the playwright, is that a new venture for you as well, or have you got something done?
I had a play on in Dreacht out in Glatchers down a couple of years ago called Beds, but it was people stayed away from it in their droves. It was only a very small production.
Okay,
so I'm hoping now that the next play might be a bit more. You know, you learn, you get better as a writer.
Okay,
now, live long enough.
And when you're doing your journalism, do you specialise in that, or is it just across the board? Anything that's going on?
Well, I mainly write for there's an LGBT, a gay magazine called The Outmost, and GCN. So that would be the magazine of the gay community in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So I write a lot for that. I have a column for that gets nearly as much hate mail as Enda Kenny. But so I mainly focus. Obviously, there would have been a lot coming up to the marriage equality referendum, and at the moment now, it will be maybe about things like violence against gay people and rights for transsexual people, and you know, kind of social issues more so than anything else. Because I can't really give it. I'm not good looking enough to give advice about healthcare or sports, and I'm not smart enough to talk about politics.
Okay, but just on that, with the legislation there last year, I mean, things has not been a smooth transition, and things not much better across, especially in the country.
Overall, I mean, it was.
Or is that naive?
No, it's not. No, I mean, you're right in that it made life an awful lot more. It made life an awful lot easier for people in one way, and it certainly did grant, at least in writing, it granted equality. But what people don't realise is, even for straight people in Ireland, the more tolerant and caring we are as a society for all people, whether, you know, it's the tie that raises all boats, you know. So when we still have a long way to go, though. I mean, transsexual people in Ireland have huge difficulties with just obtaining a job regarding violence, being able to get documentation, being able to be recognised. We have huge problems as well with the fact that the educational system in Ireland isn't secular, and you're having huge problems with teachers who are gay And there's a massive percentage of teachers in Ireland are gay.
So even with the legislation, we still have a way to go.
We still do. But I do believe we'll get there, because I think Ireland is a tolerant and loving country. We don't like to see inequality. We don't like to see bullying.
Okay.
And I would trust the Irish people.
Okay, well, to finish up, I would recommend that people, as I said, I've only read a part of it, and I was entranced by it, and I'd like to see, I'm going to read the rest for over the weekend, I'd like to see people who have taken part, but this launch, The Cost of Living, the selection of poems is being launched in the Irish Royalist Centre up there in Parnell Square on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Listen, congratulations on the book and all your future endeavours as well, Rob. It's terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're a gentleman.
Okay. God bless. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is Rob Buchanan, and he's a poet, and you heard me there. That's taking place, on the 30th of June. That's next Thursday in the Reuters Centre, the Irish Reuters Centre up on Parnell Square. 7 o'clock. Be there. Or be square. As I said, I read some of the poems. Absolutely terrific.